taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
People have been asking for years if America was headed toward another civil war. Now, while people frequently point to the rise of patriot groups as the reason for their fear, I don't think they're observing the world around us. If America falls into a new civil war, it won't be because of the patriot groups, but the radical progressives, Marxists, and America haters that are already firing the first shots. Now, to those who believe in freedom, liberty, and rights, I recommend we learn something from our history. See, when the British marched on Lexington, Massachusetts, they were met by the Massachusetts militia. When the British commander ordered the militia to lay down their arms and disperse, the militia commander, a Captain John Parker, said these famous words, "Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here." I suggest those who stand up for rights and justice heed these words. We must stand our ground. We must not fire unless fired upon. But if those in the radical left, the Marxists, progressives that are trying to destroy our country, that are willing to burn our country to the ground if they don't get their way, if they want to bring that war, let it begin here. Let us fight it so our children don't have to. While we still have the tools and the abilities to stand up to this tyranny. Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Engel. This is the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. And while I don't think any of us look forward to the idea of a possible civil war, I think it's incumbent on us to prepare for the worst as we pray for the best. Now, some of you out there may be, I'm being hyperbolic, or I'm just using a rhetorical device. And I'm not saying that everybody who disagrees with us is seeking a civil war. Well, for example, pro-abortion marchers continue to protest outside the Supreme Court. Okay, but they're also protesting outside of justices' residence. As I said before, we have the right to peaceably assemble. And I don't deny them their right to peaceably assemble. However, I do question their intent when they target not the person or the office, but their families. So you can protest outside an official building all you want. When you target the family, when you go to someone's home, you're targeting their family. But that is a mild form of intimidation. I don't say that this type of demonstration, it's been going on for years. I remember, who was the lady that protested outside of George Bush's ranch in Texas every time he was there? This is not the precursor to a civil war. You know what it is? A Colorado pregnancy center vandalized and set on fire after the Dobbs decision was released. That's beyond even civil disobedience. That is arson. That is an outright threat. That is a precursor to a civil war. A day before the attack, an organization called the Colorado Liberation and Autonomy posted a link with a map of pro-life pregnancy centers. They refer to the map as fake women's health centers. Is that not preparing for targeting? What if the map were, the link to the map was included with a graphic that said, "Defend reproductive rights. If abortions are not safe, neither are you. Your local crisis pregnancy centers tonight. Mask up and stay dangerous." How about a Virginia pregnancy center that was vandalized Friday night, at least according to the police? Multiple windows were shattered. Pro-abortion slogans were spray-painted on the property. A group called Jane's Revenge apparently may be taking credit for this. People arrested 10 individuals at an Oregon pregnancy center after they threw smoke bombs at the officers. Protesters blocked off Los Angeles highways, striking the cars, which didn't stop. They hit them with sticks. Tell me this isn't a precursor to a civil war. Now, what I've found so far is we have had violent, if not mobs, violent attacks on pro-life centers of all kinds in Arizona, California, Colorado, Oregon, Rhode Island, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Now, that's bad enough. But who here remembers 2020? Who remembers BLM and Antifa riots? The vandalism, the assaults? Who remembers CHOP and CHAP, where groups literally took over a city park and claimed they were no longer part of the United States? Tell me these are not precursors to a civil war. Oh, Paul, you know, you're being hyperbolic. How about a man who's alleged to have attacked police officers with a makeshift flamethrower during these pro-abortion protests in Los Angeles? Are you still telling me that these are just people, they're blowing off steam, right? They're mad and they just need to get it out of their system, you know, catharsis and stuff like that. I mean, sure, we've seen plenty of violent protests. When the World Economic Forum shows up, people protest. When you know, different green organizations will have sometimes violent protests. They will, you know, damage SUVs and oil rigs and all this. We've seen this before. It's been going on for years. Yeah, and the problem with that is, well, it becomes accepted. It's what some refer to as the Overton window. What is unheard of becomes allowed. What's allowed becomes normal. What's normal becomes accepted. And then what's accepted becomes required. See, since we didn't deal with violent demonstrations early, now a lot of people say it's no big deal. But the problem is, as that Overton window shifts, things get more dangerous. Well, for example, what about the man who, although alleged, apparently admitted that he planned to assassinate Associate Justice Kavanaugh for his signing on to the opinion in the Dobbs case? What about the individuals on social media calling for the assassination of Justice Clarence Thomas? Tell me, for those of you who know a little bit of history, one of the things we recognize is World War I, one of the spark that lit off World War I was the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. Now, whether that should have caused the war or not, it was that one incident that when everything went too far and then everything spiraled out of control. What do you think happens if somebody, some group, actually is able to do this, is actually able to assassinate a member of the Supreme Court? And let's face it, if they're willing to go as far as assassinating a member of the Supreme Court, well, wouldn't they assassinate maybe a member of Congress, a member of the House or the Senate? Hello, anybody remember Steve Scalise, who was wounded when a person shot up a baseball practice after asking, "Hey, are those Republicans out there?" He certainly seemed to be targeting his political opponents with firepower. We are seeing what I believe are the seeds of this war. But it's not the patriot groups. It's not the militias. One of the things that drives me nuts is everybody seems to be afraid of a militia. Militia has become an evil term, right? If you're part of a militia, everyone seems to assume that you know, you're some anti-government whack job, that's hiding out in the woods planning how to overthrow the U.S. government. No. Technically, I'm part of the militia. Why? Well, I'm a free citizen in the state of Tennessee. If my sheriff needs my help to defend rights and liberty to keep our county free, he has every right to call me up and say, hey, Paul, I need your help. Of course, it helps that I offered to help him. So, you know, I'm not talking about drafting people. I'm talking, I offered to stand up and help. We're talking about assassinations. We are talking about targeted violence. And while everybody seems to blame these quote-unquote militia groups for all this violence, it's actually the Marxist progressive extremists that are actually doing this violence. Now, I'm going to get into some more of that later in the program. But think about just how vicious, how violent. Call them the left, call them progressive, call them Marxist, call them fascist, call them socialist, whatever you want to call them, whatever label you want to put on them. Look at how vicious and violent they are when they don't get their way. Now, why would they do such a thing? Well, the answer is simple. It's called intimidation. If you're afraid to make what you know to be the right decision because you're afraid of the backlash, how does that, you know, you've lost control. Again, during the BLM riots in 2020, how many businesses, how many people put "We love BLM" on their window in the hopes that they would not be targeted, in the hopes that the looting mob would pass them by? How many of those attempts failed? How about, I mean, you can even go as far as Chief Justice Roberts, when he reversed his opinion on the Affordable Care Act. He is the only justice I know of who wrote both the opinion and a dissent. Talk about two-faced. Now, his mind was changed by simple political pressure. And I'm going to talk about some of that as well. But we've gone beyond political pressure into violence. And there are political leaders that are stoking the fires, that are building this up, that are literally calling for violence. But you see, somehow because they are on the Marxist political, the men, the average men and women, the leaders in our country, the people we have elected to represent us and exercise our rights, are afraid to go after them because they are afraid of what will happen. Now, more often than not, I believe they're afraid of how it will look on TV. But you cannot rule out violence from these groups. So if you want to know where and when a civil war in America will start, I don't know when, but all the evidence is clear. It's going to start from the Marxist, progressive, America-hating, political left. The question is, will we be prepared for it? How can you prepare for it? Well, let me give you a clue. Let me give you some ideas. At least these are my ideas. See, John Jay said every member of the state should read and study the Constitution of his country, teach the rising generation to be free, so we would know our rights and be prepared to defend and assert them. Now, I'm sure he was talking mostly about political defense, but maybe it's violent. Maybe it's a defense against violence as well. But how do we do that? Well, as we approach Independence Day, I'm making an offer. I am going to give away a free subscription to my online Constitution study. Just go to constitutionstudy.com. constitutionstudy.com/study. You'll find the page. You'll find all the details. Fill out the form for your chance to win. It's absolutely free. It's a $200 value. I'm giving it away absolutely free. All I ask is that you fill out that form and sign up. Why? Because we meet together to read and study the Constitution. so that we can be prepared to defend our rights, to assert our rights, to do them, do so properly and legally. Now, there are other things you may want to do, depending on A, how far you think the violence is going to go, and B, how prepared are you to meet that violence? I'm not an expert in that, and I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I'll tell you what I've done, at least a little bit. Yeah, I'm prepared. I've taken training on self-defense. I've made plans. I've looked at my house and made plans of how I would defend myself if the mob were to come here or if the government were to come here. I've prepared for both. They say the body won't go where the mind hasn't been. I know it may be uncomfortable, it may be unpleasant, but we need to take some time and think about where things are going. And again, I hope you'll join me at the Constitution Study. You go to, again, constitutionstudy.com/study and enter for your chance to win a free subscription to the study. Now, I have to take a break. But before I do, let me talk to you about Healthy Cell. Now, Healthy Cell is a leading innovator in nutritional supplements designed for cellular health. You know, they reinvented the vitamins, which haven't been done since, the 1930s. And they've got a lot of different formulas. Now, one of the ones that we use, primarily my wife and my daughter, although I use it when I travel, is called REM sleep. You know, sometimes you have a hard time falling asleep and it kind of messes with your whole day. Well, REM sleep helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, so you can get a good night's rest so you can be prepared for the following day. Now, whether you're like my wife who uses it regularly or me who uses it occasionally, give it a try. Just go to healthycell.com. And if you use the code out loud at checkout, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So again, go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, to rejoin the Constitution Study. I am so glad you could join me today. We're talking about this question. If they mean to have war, if the radical, progressive, Marxist left, as we refer to them here in this country, if they mean to have war, are we prepared for it? Can we say, let it begin here? Now, I talked in the first segment about the violence that is part of this. Violence is always, to my mind, a part of the Civil War process. I mean, let's face it. Marxists talk about the revolution. They're talking about another revolution. But it's not simply the violence. There's got to be a political backing to it as well. So when I read articles like this, like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Meet the Press, talking about the Dobbs decision, she says, this decision and this policy will kill people, no matter what their spin and what their talking points are. And that's what the data shows, and that's what the statistics show. Now, trust me, I don't watch Meet the Press. I've yet to see any statistics that, legitimate statistics. Because the thing they seem to forget is the policy she's talking about, the policy she wants put in place, kills people. By definition, an abortion is the termination of a human life. Colloquially, we say that's killing people. Now, does she say that when they talk about, lack of access to abortion will kill people, the science, the statistics she's referring to, every one that I've read is garbage. It's junk. Now, I don't have the data in front of me because she doesn't tell me what statistics she's talking about. But this thread of, did women get illegal abortions before 1973? Yes. Did people die from illegal abortions before 1973? Yes. Does Dobbs make abortions illegal? No. See, again, we're dealing with the rhetoric, but the idea is it's to hype people up. Oh my God, look at what they did. We have to do something because people are going to die. We have to do something. She all but said it here. She claims that the Supreme Court dramatically overreached its authority. Well, wait a second. The judicial power of the United States is vested in one Supreme Court and in whatever inferior courts Congress creates. Their job is to look at the case and compare the law to the case and decide what the law says. That includes the Constitution, which they actually did. I'm working on my review of the Dobbs opinion. It's a giant, it's like over 200 pages. It is a giant opinion. Yes, I'm going to pare that down. And I will have that here on the radio program, be on my website, but it'll also be, I'll do it on the radio program when I'm done and I'm ready to publish it. But you see, it's either they've overreached their authority. No, they haven't. They looked at the law, they looked at the Constitution, says nowhere in the Constitution does it say people have a right to abortion. Nowhere in our history before 1973 was a right to abortion recognized in this country. Therefore, there's no historical basis for it to be a non-enumerated right. Right? The Ninth Amendment says, hey, just because a right's not enumerated in the Constitution doesn't mean the people don't keep it. So there's no evidence of that. But you see, she didn't get what she wants. This stokes the fires. When she talks about a crisis of legitimacy, it is actually the Roe opinion that started the crisis of legitimacy. But again, it's stoking the mantra, the rhetoric, get people all wound up to justify. And let's face it, if people are going to die, you can justify violence, can't you? Self-defense is the idea that you can use violence to defend yourself. Well, if she can get people to believe that the Roe v. Wade overturning is going to kill people, well, you can use violence to defend yourself, right? Possibly even, firebombing crisis pregnancy centers. Possibly even attacking people with a makeshift flamethrower. Or attempting or encouraging the assassination of your political rivals. This is the rhetoric that leads to the Civil War, but it's not the patriot groups that's doing it. Now, notice I'm trying to avoid terms like liberal and conservative because they're often misunderstood. They're used differently, and certainly not Democrat and Republican because a pox on both their houses. But when you're talking about people for whom the court is to rule, and if I don't get my way, the answer is violence, that's the progressive left. It's the Marxist groups. It's the people that talk about hating America. And to show just how uncompromising this mindset is, Ms. Cortez went on Instagram, put an Instagram video, suggesting that pro-life Democrats should be voted out of office. Now, I hear a lot of people talking about RINOs, Republicans in name only. Well, apparently to Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, a pro-life Democrat is a DINO, a Democrat in name only. Because she said in this video, because the thing that a lot of people don't like to talk about is the fact that not every Democrat is pro-choice, okay? So the ones that aren't, we really need to reassess if it's appropriate for them to continue to serve in 2022 because people should have the right to control their own body. That's pretty basic. Oh, so if you disagree, if you're not rabidly pro-choice, you don't have a place in the Democratic Party. Those are not my words, ladies and gentlemen. That's the word of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She says, while she is a relatively young member of Congress, she is quite influential in the Democratic Party and among the Democratic leadership. She has influence. And in her mind, if you're not rapidly pro-choice, if you don't believe in abortion anywhere, anytime, for any reason, apparently, well, then you don't belong in the Democratic Party. I want you to think, everybody here who's a Democrat, if you are part of the Democratic Party, is that your idea of the Democratic Party? It's really important, I think, that we take some time to think. Now, again, I pick on the Republican Party. I went after those who ignored the Constitution when it came to the Bipartisan Gun Grab Act. But let's look at it. Here we have a leader of the Democratic Party saying, if you don't agree with me, you don't belong in the party. And once again, she focused on the right to control their own body. What about the body growing inside them? Tell me that's not a radical separation. What are you creating? You're creating further division in the country. I mean, I've quoted it often enough. Probably most of you can recite it by off the top of your head, but George Washington in his farewell address said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries have perpetuated the most hard enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. Oh, talk about a spirit of revenge. Either you're with us or you don't have anything to do with us. Either you agree with us 100% or you're out. Now, to everybody out there who's registered a Democrat, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. But I need you to ask yourself, is that your view of a Democrat? Put another way, and this is very important, the Dobbs decision, again, did not make abortion illegal. It put it in the hands of the people and their representatives. In other words, you could say they returned it to a democratic process. It's not good enough for this Democrat. So tell me, is a Democratic Party truly democratic anymore? Doesn't sound so based on some of the rhetoric. And again, it's not just the Democrats. Republican Senator Susan Collins has claimed that Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh misled her during the confirmation, that they lied to her, which is in itself is just it's a ridiculous statement. I mean, either Ms. Collins, Senator Collins, did not actually research the claim before she made it, or she has absolutely no clue of how precedent works. But again, you see, it's a divide. Wait a second. I didn't get the outcome I want. You didn't promise me that you would uphold Roe v. Wade over the law, the Constitution, everything else. Therefore, you lied to me. Just shows how politicized the court has become, in large part because of the way the Senate has gone through the confirmation process. Again, it's not just me. A former law clerk to Justice Gorsuch was on Fox News pointing out that the mistakes that Ms. Collins has made. She says she felt misled. Well, how about you actually read the transcript of what these men told you in the hearings? Now, according to this associate, this law clerk, a Mike Davis, he pointed out, they follow the judicial canons. And when they talk about precedent, their job is to follow precedent. That includes evaluating precedent under the law of precedent to determine whether the precedent is still good. They did what they were supposed to do. But you see, here we have a Republican senator who doesn't like it. She says, we tried to politicize the court, and we had for 50 years, and now somebody dared to challenge not just the conservative liberal bent, challenged the Marxist progressive idea of abortion anywhere, anytime, for any reason. And they don't like it, including some Republicans. So I really don't care. A pox on both their houses. Now, what's interesting is we've had people violently demonstrating. Most demonstrations are probably peaceful, but there's been violent demonstrations by the progressive, fascistic, Marxist left. We've seen examples of politicians of both parties pushing towards this progressive, Marxist, you know, big government rules, not the Constitution. What happens when you mix hate and politics? See, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was speaking at a pride parade. She said, we know what happened in the Supreme Court yesterday. If you read the Clarence Thomas concurrence, and she went on to describe what he said. And her response was, thank you, F you, Clarence Thomas. Oh, and of course the crowd joined into a chant, but here we have. We have a politician helping to incite violence. Granted, she didn't actually call for violence against Clarence Thomas. Well, unless you have the reasonable assumption that Clarence Thomas does not wish to be sexually assaulted for his opinion on the court. She went on to say, he thinks that we are going to stand idly by while they take our rights, our right to marry, our right to have children, our right to live. Excuse me, Madam Lightfoot, what in God's name are you talking about? There was no discussion of a right to marry. There was no discussion of a right to have children. There was no discussion of a right to live. There was a discussion about whether the Constitution authorized the federal government to regulate the taking of an unborn human life. Now, Thomas did say in his occurrence that in the future cases, we should reconsider all of this court's substantive due rights process precedents. Things like Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell. Why? Well, because substantive due process is sketchy at best. It's the idea under ordered liberty that says, the Ninth Amendment says there are rights that are not enumerated in the Constitution. But the problem is, does the court simply come up with the idea of rights, or do those rights have to be based in something? Which is what Thomas is talking about. When we look at these cases, are we dealing with, if it's not specifically enumerated in the Constitution, what basis by which do we call it a right to be protected by the Constitution? You see, for, again, 50 plus years, the progressive Marxist fascist left have gotten their way, not through the democratic process, not through the legislative process, not through the constitutional process, but by the dictatorial process of the courts. And they are losing that control. That scares them, and they are reacting badly. They're reacting, in some cases, violently, in some cases, hyperbolically, and in some cases, dictatorially. And I want to go into some more of that, but I've got a break coming up, and I don't want to jump in and break it up mid-flight. But I do want to remind you. See, I do these analyses of these court opinions, And I tried to write them in plain, ordinary English. And you can find them all at the website, constitutionstudy.com. And I do my every other week Constitution study. And if you want to get a free, want your chance to get a free copy, if you want a free subscription, go to constitutionstudy.com/study. You have to register by midnight July 4th. In other words, you got through the end of July 4th to do this. And I'm going to give away a free copy, a free subscription to the study so you can also learn. But the most important thing I want to make sure we all understand is we're not to be dependent. We are to be independent. We're to be able to think for ourselves. That's part of what liberty is. And as we approach our Independence Day, ask yourself, look at the individuals that we're seeing, whether they are the people you're voting for in November or in the primaries or other sports. Are they promoting independence or dependence? Are they focusing on liberty or on tyranny? Hopefully, if you answer that question, you'll have a better idea maybe how you should vote in the upcoming election. Again, donkey, elephant, I don't care. Do they support liberty? Are they supporting the Constitution, or are they infringing on the Constitution? Now, if you think others might be interested in these types of discussions, well, let them know. They can listen to the Constitution Study every weekday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. They can listen on our media player or our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and you'll find all those links. Now, also, if they can't listen live, they can also listen on podcast. On Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, anywhere they listen to a podcast. But do me a favor, ask them to subscribe and leave me a rating so that other people can find the Constitution Study as well.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
It's summertime. Ready for your vacation to the beach, the lake, or the mountains? But what about your accommodations? Ever wonder what germs were left behind by the previous guests? Kathy G. from Tulsa says the Genesis Fogger gives her peace of mind and confidence when traveling. With Genesis, she knows that the air and surfaces in her vacation rental are free of bacteria and viruses left behind by the previous occupants. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you join the Constitution Study, today the question is, are there those out there that are starting a civil war? Do they mean to have war? And there are several that act like it. We've talked about the violence that has been perpetrated, both in response to the Dobbs decision and previously. We've talked about the political rhetoric designed to divide the nation that would help justify the actions of a civil war. But there's also something under the current, under the there that you may not have thought about. Sure, the Supreme Court issued a decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, talking about the ability to get a carry license. And I'm going to cover that later. I'm still working on that. But in response to the Uvalde shooting, both Democrats and Republicans got together to put together more laws to infringe on the rights of the American people. They claim it's going to save lives. They claim it's it would have stopped these events. Of course, none of the laws I've seen would actually have stopped the Buffalo or Uvalde shootings. So why are they doing this? Well, to be blunt, tyrants are terrified of an armed populace. Richard Henry Lee, the man who actually made the proposal in the Continental Congress that we declare independence said that to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of people always possess arms. The man that thought we should be independent said everybody, the whole body, should possess arms. Why? I believe the answer can be found in a quote from a founding father, George Tucker, who said, "The right of self-defense is the first law of nature. In most governance, it has been the study of rulers to confine this right within the narrowest possible limits. And when the right of the people to keep and bear arms is, under any color or pretext whatsoever, prohibited, liberty, if not already annihilated, is on the brink of destruction." Think about that. How often, how many of our governments, state, federal, local, have been trying to confine your right to defend yourself with the best tools possible? When they have used any color or pretext whatsoever to deny you a right to keep and bear arms, liberty is either already annihilated or it's on the brink of destruction. So then why do governments try to restrict this power? Well, let's take a look at Noah Webster. Now, he was asked to edit the Federalist Papers. He was very involved in developing. He developed, eventually we know him for the dictionary he created, but he was involved with the Founding Fathers. He said, "Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no law but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for they will possess the power and jealously will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to them unjust and oppressive." Well, at least that was true in the 1780s. Is that still true today? Do the American people have the fortitude, the inclination to resist the execution of unjust laws? But look at the point. You see, if the people are armed, they can stand against a government, even Congress and the government of the United States. But said Paul, they have an army. That's right. Last time I looked, the federal military could put its hands on about 2 million people under arms. That includes the regular military, the reserves, even the National Guard, 2 million. Last time I checked, there was estimated to be over 100 million armed Americans. Do you want to know why governments don't want people armed? It makes them dependent. See, if you're armed, you can defend yourself, even against the government. But if you're dependent on the government, you can't defend yourself from it. But Paul, what does this have to do with the Civil War? Well, remember that quote from Captain John Parker, the Battle of Lexington, we all learned about in school, was started because of gun control. The British had decided they had to disarm the colonists in order to pacify them. And the British were marching on Lexington and Concord to confiscate the colonists' powder. And they stood up. Yet here we have the federal government saying, hey, we're going to confiscate your weapons if someone says we think you may be dangerous. Due process, we're not going to worry about that. Oh, we're going to restrict what arms you're not allowed to have a gun that might actually be able to defend yourself against an out-of-control government. No, we don't want that. Even a mockery of it. We don't want that. The last thing we want are a people that's able to defend themselves. That's the government that is pushing towards civil war. Add to that the Disinformation Governance Board. Yes, it's been suspended, but we're talking about a federal agency that will determine what is and isn't true for you. And if they determine that what is something is disinformation, what are they going to do? They're going to prevent you from finding out about it? Are they going to prevent you from spreading information that they don't like? And what happens when the actual purveyor of disinformation, the federal government, has nobody to challenge them? Because when people stand up to prevent the implementation of this egregious agency, not even a law, just by presidential edict, if we can't defend ourselves, what do we do? And again, it's not just the feds. A report is out that the California Attorney General leaked names and addresses of gun owners in the state. Just imagine this. Now, yes, by all means, I have a carry license. I conceal carry. Do you know why? Because I don't want people to know that I'm carrying. It makes me a target. If I'm out and about openly displaying my firearm and somebody with evil intent walks up, who are they going to target first? Well, guess what? California Attorney General's office apparently leaked a database that included the home addresses, full names, and date of birth for every gun owner in the state, at least according to a report from The Reload. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for just a second. Why should we trust guns? They keep saying, well, you need to register your firearm. Why? Why should we trust you're going to keep it secret? Because all it takes is one idiot with an agenda, and now your security is compromised. Because anybody that wants to go out against gun owners, what happens when the pro-abortion crowd, which is willing to loot and riot and demonstrate and call for assassinations, what happens when the pro-gun control crowd decides to do the same? Do you want demonstrations outside your home? Do you want people throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails at your home because some bureaucrat leaked information they were supposed to keep private? And what was the response of the Attorney General's office? Today's announcement puts power and information into the hands of our communities by helping them better understand the role and potential dangers of firearms within our state. We just gave you targets, people. Tell me that isn't calling for demonstrations that could easily turn violent and spark another civil war. So why are the people so upset about the abortion debate? Why are the leftist, Marxist, communist, fascist, progressives so upset about the Dobbs decision and the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association decision? Well, the Dobbs decision is because they've lost control. I believe because they've lost control. They believe they've lost control of the court. But the reason they hate every victory for the actual language of the Second Amendment is because it challenges their monopoly on power, as I was saying before. And what happens when a bully gets backed into a corner? They strike out. Now, I have not heard of any violent demonstrations in response to the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association opinion. And I'm glad for that. Believe it or not, I'm glad. But if the people that are willing to firebomb pro-life centers because of a political, a court decision that doesn't fit with their political agenda, how long do you think the people that the rabid gun control activists, the Hoags and the Kellys, how long before they call for demonstrations because their political agenda did not advance? And how long before other bureaucrats leak information for political purposes with the hopes of, if not violence, certainly intimidation and persuasion? Now, I said before that the first shots in the Civil War have already been fired, and I've given some examples. But here's one you probably heard about, but I want you to think about it in this light. You see, Epoch Times did an interview with Cynthia Hughes, who's the founder of the Patriot Freedom Project. And she's apparently working with top attorney Joe McBride on the treatment of those who have been alleged to have committed crimes on January 6, 2020. Now, find it very interesting that when people were burning down buildings, where they're setting buildings on fire in Washington, D.C., Congress didn't care. But as soon as somebody questioned an election involving one of these Marxist, fascist dictators, Congress goes nuts. They start a kangaroo court. They spend months of intensive investigation. They were tracking down people based on their cell phones simply for being there on January 6th. And the people that they have arrested, many of them are being denied basic human rights. According to Ms. Hughes, defendants still do not get to go outside. They do not get to see the sun. She said, if you have medical problems, you're not seeing a doctor. According to Ms. Hughes, until very recently, if one of the defendants actually met with their lawyer, they were put in solitary confinement for 2 weeks, supposedly on the grounds of COVID. Now, why do I bring this up as part of a question of a civil war? Because we've seen treatment like this before in our nation. If you want, do a little research on HMS Jersey. During the Revolutionary War, over 1,000 men were kept on board the Jersey. There were about a dozen deaths every day. Smallpox, dysentery, typhoid, yellow fever. These are just the common diseases. Starvation, dehydration. Many died of torture. This country is repeating some of the worst parts of our initial history. And as we approach Independence Day, I ask you, do you want to be free? Do you want to be ruled by the tyrants, both the ones in politics and the ones on the street, that are willing to use intimidation and violence to get their way? Do you wish to be governed by people that will use hyperbole, lies, and violence to separate us for a political agenda? Do you want to live in a country where the people are disarmed and powerless against their governments? Do you want to live in a country where courts rule and people suffer? If not, then I say it's time for us to redeclare our independence. This time not from Great Britain, but from the tyrants in Washington. Abraham Lincoln said, "The people are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert it." On Independence Day, I have a special message. I'll be going through my Redeclaration of Independence. I did it last year, the Redeclaration of Independence. I'll be looking through an updated version of it, where I'm going to look at the grievances and update them based on the last year's events. But recent history has proven, if America is falling into another civil war, it is not the patriot community, it's not the militia community, it's not those who are trying to enforce the rule of law. No, ladies and gentlemen. It is the progressive, Marxist, tyrannical, dictatorial, communist left, progressive left, that is using violence to get their way. And if the American people don't screw their courage to the sticking point and stand their ground against this takeover, then there won't be a civil war, because we'll just roll over and ask for our bellies to be rubbed when the tyrants take over. They've shown they've done it before. They've shown they're more than willing to do it again. Now, I'm not saying we should attack them. Again, don't fire unless fired upon. We should not initiate violence. But ladies and gentlemen, you should be prepared to defend yourself when they fire upon you. And if the idea of a civil war terrifies you, ask yourself, which would be worse? If you fought that war, or if your children fought that war. I've said for years now, if the American people will not fight this war when we can do it in relative safety, when we can do it at the ballot box, when we can do it by regaining control of our governments and our employees in government, then we will enslave our children to fighting for their rights on the battlefield. We are losing the window to stop this civil war peacefully. Will you stand up and help stop the madness before it goes too far? And if the idea of a civil war scares you, ask yourself, which would be worse? You fighting the civil war or condemning your children to either slavery or bloodshed to protect the rights you couldn't be bothered to? Do me a favor, stop by AmericaOutLoud.com every day, find the articles, podcasts, videos that you can share to help others enjoy the blessings of liberty.
Hey, they'll stay out of jail.